It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show. Live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Benson in behind the goal. Zetterlund can't handle him in front. Thompson scores! Zach Benson does the work and Tage Thompson with the finish. 3-2 Buffalo.
That is your game-winning goal. Tage Thompson early in the third. A great shift for Zach Benson as he sets him up from behind the net. Thompson's 35th. Puts Buffalo in front 3-2 for good. And our goal of the game tonight is brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Well, appropriate that we get our Roswell Park read in here on Bald for Bucks night as the Sabres celebrating the raising of money for cancer research and also Buffalo celebrating a win as they beat Ottawa by a 3-2 margin. Dylan Cousins returning home had the nice tribute video early in the first. He acknowledged it. It seemed as though he was very appreciative of the Sabres putting that up there. He gets an assist right away on Tkachuk's power play goal that had Ottawa up 1-0. But the Sabres come back, tied at 1. Jack Quinn before the period ends. Teams exchange goals again in the second. Perron for Ottawa, Bernard Docker for Buffalo, and then Thompson, 1:23 into the third, gets that game winner. James Reimer again playing very well for the Sabres as he gets second star honors, 31 saves in the win, and Buffalo picks up a 3-2 victory over the Ottawa Senators. And if you are a Sabre fan hoping that they will get out of the basement, well, they're getting closer as of last check now with this win coupled with Philadelphia's loss tonight. The Sabres are now within 1 point of the Flyers. It has been since December since this team has not been in the basement. And they have 3 games in hand on Philadelphia, so it may come very soon. But as of this moment, 1 point back of Philadelphia to get themselves out of that basement spot that they have been for a long time. Game 70 tonight goes for the Sabres. Obviously, 12 left in this regular season. The Sabres will be home again on Thursday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres radio network. All right, Paul Hamilton's locker room interviews coming up here in a moment. We'll also hear from Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy picking up his 600th regular season win tonight as Sabres head coach. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's final take. And he's only the second NHL head coach in history to get 600 regular season wins with a single franchise. So that is a very, very impressive mark for Lindy. I'm sure that he'll be asked about that during his post-game press conference coming up here in just a few moments. If you are in your car listening on your way home, we appreciate you listening. Your drive of the game, or your drive home from the game, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of business. Well, I mean, obviously the story coming in was Cousins and his return, and he's been playing so well for Ottawa. He now has 8 points in 9 games, 3 goals, 5 assists in his 9 games so far. So he is doing what he needed to do to kind of make an impact early on with his team. We know the big piece of the return, Josh Norris, has been battling nagging injury and still has been out for a while. We're actually going to hear from Josh Norris, update on his injury and thoughts about seeing Ottawa in here tonight. We'll have that interview with Paul Hamilton that he did with Josh Norris a little bit later on in the postgame show. So we'll have that upcoming if you want to hear what's the latest with Josh Norris. But obviously frustrating for him, for sure, that he can't be out here today facing his former team. Jacob Bernard-Docker, also a part of that trade, and he's been playing well as of late. He gets a goal tonight. He was named first star, but Bernard-Docker in the win against Winnipeg on Sunday, if you missed that game, he had 2 assists. And both primary assists to set up Buffalo for 2 of their 5 goals in that 5-3 win. So offensively now, he's starting to contribute as he picks up his first goal as a Sabre tonight. A nice hard wrist shot through traffic. Kozak was excellent on that play. Could Tyson Kozak be exactly maybe what you'd want to draw up for your fourth line player? Like, plug him in now permanently here for the next, you know, whatever years, 5, 6, 7 years, like, it's exactly what you'd want. I mean, Malenstein, Kozak, like, those are the type of players that the Sabres sometimes have been struggling to find, players that are hard to play against. Kozak's motor never stops. He's definitely not afraid to be around the net, and he battles, and he wins battles, and he did a really nice job there. That, by the way, is his first NHL assist that he picked up on that Bernard-Docker goal. So kind of a milestone night for him as well. As he had his first NHL goal taken away on replay. He had his first NHL assist taken away on replay with challenges and things like that. But this one counts. He's obviously got now 2 goals as he scored the other night in Winnipeg and also had another one earlier. So Kozak now off and running, 3 points for his NHL career. And the Sabres got Yuri Kulik back tonight, which was a nice aid because they're still hurting right now offensively with forward injuries. I already mentioned Josh Norris. Jordan Greenway is now out with a lower body injury. No timetable yet on him. Sam Lafferty is improving but still out. So 3 forwards for Buffalo right now out with the injury bug. And, you know, obviously they would love to have Norris back ASAP. And Greenway, Lindy Ruff always says he's such a spark plug for this team. So that's the latest on the injury front here and the injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. 3-2 Buffalo. Pittsburgh is next here on Thursday at 7 o'clock. All right, let's head to the room. Jack Quinn, one of the goal scorers. Here he is live with Paul Hamilton.
Jack, you guys have had to go through a lot of different things in these last 2 wins. First, it was 3 games in 4 against a good team in Winnipeg. Now 4 games in 6 against a good team in Ottawa. What's been the difference where you guys have found ways to win in these 2 games?
Yeah, I think, like you said, just put a little more focus into closing games out, doing the right things as the game goes on.
It seemed like in this game you guys were better in the second half of periods, and then in the third period it seemed like you put together a full period, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think they were on us for a bit there, but we weathered the storm and stayed alive, and were able to get to our game in the third, like you said.
Now, Lindy has mentioned that he wanted you guys to really cut down on the penalties. That was obviously an issue tonight. How'd you guys stave off some of the frustration with them capitalizing on those power plays?
Yeah, just got to let it go. Obviously, I don't want to give them power plays and chances. But when it happens, just got to, you know, bounce back when the 5-on-5 shift hits.
Same thing, too. You had to overcome an offside on a nice goal that you guys scored, but you just got to put it in your – forget about it and just keep going?
Yeah, same thing. Just move on and try to get another one.
Jack, you really got the shot off quickly for your goal. I mean, you got it and it was gone. Can that give you some confidence now to shoot the puck and when it hits your stick, just let it fly?
Yeah, for sure. I think when one goes in for you, you start to feel it a bit and, you know, are able to get him off and get him on net a little more.
Did you know that that was going to get over, the first goal was going to get overturned once you kind of saw the replay there?
We came off and Apps said it was probably offside, so we kind of knew when we got back.
Last couple of games, do you feel you can you feel your game coming a little bit now in the last couple?
Yeah, I think it's been a lot better the last couple. A lot more plays being made and offense coming, so it's a good sign.
What was it like to be out there against Dylan?
It was pretty weird. Obviously, so close with him, but he looks great out there.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Quinn on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Yeah, I'm sure it had to be weird going against Cousins, who, of course, you know, many, many shifts together. The kid line when the Sabres were making that push to the playoffs 2 years ago, him and Paterka and Cousins together. You know, let's go back to the room. Here's Jacob Bernard Docker live with Paul.
Well, Jacob, I had asked you at the end of the first period what it was like to play against your old mates. What was it like to score a big goal against your old teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it felt pretty good, I'm not going to lie. So, no, but I think, you know, we obviously were on the heels a bit there the first period and thought the boys did a great job kind of responding there after that.
Talk about the work that Krebs and Kozak put in before you wound up getting that shot all the way down the ice. I mean, it started in the defensive zone. They kept losing the puck, getting it back. Talk about the work that they put in on that goal.
Yeah, I mean, they don't cheat the game, so they play it the right way, and it's impressive watching those guys and young players in the league that are very defensively responsible, so it's impressive.
What does it mean to you to finally have this opportunity, to get the opportunity to play? You waited for so long and to make an impact these last two games.
Yeah, I mean, it feels just unreal to be on the ice, honestly. I've had a tough year kind of prior to this and kind of just grinding and lots of skates by myself and work in the gym, and it feels good to be back in games. It's it's fun.
How does it feel to be able to string some points together here in consecutive games and getting goals and just contributing to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my game, to be honest with you. So it's great when the offense comes, but it's I think it's just kind of taking pride in being hard to play against, making sure that I'm reliable. And you know, when the offense comes, it's obviously nice, but it's not my primary focus at all.
How about these two?
Have those offensive opportunities though.
What allowed it?
What's led you to have some offensive success early here?
I think just when I was injured, I think I kind of just had to sit back and evaluate my game a bit. And you know, not that I'm an offensive wizard by any means, but I think maybe just, you know, skating up a little bit more, joining the rush a little more. I tried to watch a bit of video when I was out, and yeah, I mean, it's a small sample size, so it doesn't mean that much. But
in these last two wins, you've played fresh teams. Now, in Winnipeg, you had played 3 and 4. Now you played 4 and 6. Both teams come in fresh. How were you guys able to get yourselves together? And this is 4 and 6 in four different cities. How were you guys able to get yourselves together to win these two hockey games?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough stretch of the season, obviously. I think Rhymes did a great job in both those games, kind of keeping us in it early and giving us a chance. And, you know, once we get our legs under us, it seems that, you know, guys start making plays. And, you know, hopefully going forward here, we can start that from the first period.
Obviously, it was key to stay out of the penalty box. I mean, you guys went 4 times and had given up 2 power play goals. 5-on-5, you were doing fine. And then you stayed out of the box after that. That had to be key to winning the game.
Yeah, that was an emphasis in the room, is try to stay out of the box. Obviously, it didn't really work out that way. And PK did a good job. And then, like I said, Rhymes is our best PKer. So, obviously, it helps when we don't take penalties. But I think PK did a good job tonight.
Thanks a lot. Jacob Bernard-Docker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, that's tonight's first star. He gets his first goal as a Saber. Says he's not really known for offense, but obviously right now he'll be happy with it. He's had 3 points in his last 2 games, 2 assists in the win over Winnipeg, the goal tonight, and Buffalo wins it by a score of 3-2. All right, next coming up, Lindy Ruff. But before we hear from the Sabres head coach, let's get some final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third. This is just, again, showing how good Reimer was. 14 for 14 in the third. 14 shots for Ottawa. 6 for Buffalo. It ends up 33-24 in favor of the Senators. In the Nets, Reimer the win, 31 saves. Anton Forsberg the loss, 21 saves, 3 goals against. Individually for Buffalo, well, we mentioned had Bernard Docker coming through with a goal. J.J. Paterka staying hot as he gets an assist, although his goal streak unfortunately does come to an end. It was going to be 4 goals in 4 games for him, but he had that goal taken off the board just offsides when Quinn had a beautiful pass. Dahlin led the way with shots. He had 4 in the game. Thompson and Benson and Quinn had 3 each. Also a real physical game for Dahlin, leading both teams with hits. He gets 5 amongst the 16 that were credited for Buffalo in this game. Everybody, no multi-point games for anybody on the ice for either side tonight. What was Dylan Cousins' line? Well, he had one assist, a minus two, two shots on goal, and he ends up playing 17-18 in ice time there. And, of course, power plays were a huge part of this game here for Ottawa and Buffalo. Both Ottawa goals came there. They were 2 of 4, and the Sabres 0 of 1. But as the Sabres did take early penalties after the halfway point of the game, they took none. So they did clean that up. That obviously was something they had to avoid, and they did it. That's your Donabray.com power play update, powered by Donabray Tools, probably made here in Buffalo. 3-2 Sabres beat the Senators. We're going to hear from Lindy Ruff here in a moment. Again, Lindy winning his 600th regular season win for the Sabres. Only the second coach ever to have 600 regular season wins with one franchise. So that's coming up here any moment. Don't forget, we'll read some tweets. You can send them in to me on X tonight at BrianWGR, as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Well, for Ottawa, it's kind of a key loss. They're in the race right now and trying to separate themselves from the rest of these Eastern wildcard wannabes. Ottawa still now with 79 points. They've been playing well, though. They've still won 7 of their last 10. A four-point advantage now on Montreal. The Canadiens are playing as we speak in St. Louis. It's not going well. They're losing to the Blues 4-1. The Islanders and the Rangers both have 74. And let's see. Neither of those teams. Oh, the Rangers do play later. Islanders were off tonight. The Rangers play at 10:30 in L.A. against the Kings. But last night, the other night after Montreal had gotten into position to be into Wild Card 2, we kind of looked at where they were going to be points percentage-wise, and they're on pace for about 89 points. The East this year was just there for the taking for Buffalo. They obviously, you know, had some terrible stretches, including a 13-game winless streak, which ultimately is going to do them in here this year. But it wouldn't have taken an outstanding year to be a wild card and break this drought. Looks like maybe, you know, 90 will do it. Is Montreal currently holding that wild card 2 spot? They're on pace for 89, so it could have been there. And look at the Bruins. Essentially, we were waiting for them to fall back. They have fallen back. They trade away their captain in Marchand. The Penguins, we were thinking, would they just, you know, being as old as they are, would they fall back? They have. Detroit made the coaching change. We thought, oh, maybe that's what's going to spark them. It did for a while. Now they've lost 7 of their last 10. They've fallen back. Columbus was a really feel-good story for their off-season tragedy, and they were in a wild-card spot for a lot of the year. They have fallen back. They've only won 2 of their last 10. So, I mean, these teams are just begging to take the wild-card spot. Nobody really wants it, but the Sabres are just so far back. Again, they can pass Philadelphia on Thursday if they get a win and Philadelphia loses in their game, but, what could have been? I mean, literally, had the Sabres even just been playing 500 per points percentage, they've played 70 games. Even if you give them just 70 points, which is 6 more, you have 70. You're only 5 back with games in hand. There's teams in front of you that have 72, 73, 71. I mean, it could have been right in the race. And yes, all of these games would have mattered tremendously. And you still have Ottawa again, who's in the race with you here. So, I mean, you know, it could have been some huge, huge games coming up. But you lost all 4 meetings with Montreal. That's, you know, one that's going to sting there, too. That's a team that's sitting in Wild Card 2 right now. You know, Buffalo obviously had plenty of opportunities. But as I said, that 13-game winless streak, even if you just can win a couple, maybe 3 or 4, you still would be definitely legitimately in the race. All right, Sabres win 3-2. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
I really wasn't aware of it, but you know, obviously feels good. I mean, just get the win tonight felt good. How hard we battled after the first period. And I've been fortunate. A lot of good people around me, you know, that have helped throughout the years, and coaches and unbelievable fan support here in this building. And I really wasn't aware of it. So it was kind of a surprise at the end of the game.
mentioned this morning you really wanted to see the penalties cut down. It was a problem tonight, but what did you think of the way that your guys bounced back after the mistakes on the
team? Yeah, you know, I think there was two things early that really hurt us. The penalties hurt us, and we lost almost every faceoff. So we were chasing the puck in that first 10, 15 minutes. You know, that last 4 or 5 minutes got us going. And then I thought it was a hard game after that for, you know, we had some opportunities to probably open it up. Even that late 2-1 with JJ, but it was a game we needed some good saves. We got them. And at the same time, our guys played I thought we played a great third period.
As it comes into perspective, Lindy, I remember you once saying you never thought you'd get out of your first season as a coach to look this far at, to know where you are right now and knowing this milestone.
You know, I think any young coach sometimes thinks he'll never get out of his first season. I've been blessed to have unbelievable opportunity and the support throughout the years from different owners, different GMs, to get to this point here, you know, you go from the Knox, starting with the Knox family and the ownership after that, and Darcy's the GM, and, you know, all through the years. And then, you know, the coaching staff you put together do a lot of work. So, you know, I get to stand here and talk about it, but it's more than a one-man job.
For your career to fix this, right? This season hasn't gone the way that you wanted, and for this to really have a hand in getting this right.
You know, it's like driving in a car you haven't drove for a while, maybe a little bit older car, but you get under the hood and you get to look at it and you get to feel what you need to get the car running really good. I'm a guy that from day one, I always think I can fix everything. And I haven't been able to fix everything. And this year has been a disappointment for me from day one. I said it earlier. If we could take the 13 games out of the season, just even split that in half, because before we got to the 13 games, we were like 11, 9, and 2. The games after that were 3 or 4 games over 500. That segment of games, you know, killed our club, and that I feel personally responsible that there was games that were right there that could have turned it and got it the other way, and we didn't get it done. I also feel that the way we're playing now these last 40 is conducive to winning those types of games, so it's been tough. Obviously,
how much does that compel you, that drive to fix everything, compel you to just want to be back here next season to get this right?
I can honestly say it drives my wife crazy when she thinks I can fix everything. And that's around the house and everything. So I've had to call a few electricians over time.
But you know what I'm getting at. How much?
It does. Really want to get this right. And you know, these last two games, really, they were hard games. I mean, it was a hard schedule for us. And, you know, to muscle your way through the Winnipeg game, a team that really good in their own building, and then come back home, get a little bit of rest, and be ready to go again. Face some adversity in the first period, which we hadn't been able to master or conquer. I thought our guys, you know, got through the penalties and settled down and started to take over the game. And that's really what a good team does.
This morning, what had, you know, he'd done the last couple games, but you know, what's led him to maybe have some offensive success? He said that maybe just, you know, watching some film and having some downtime, he realized he needed to be a little more aggressive. But what do you think led him to have some offensive success?
You know, still a guy I don't know a lot about, but I think, you know, the shot he took found the hole. You know, if you looked at the start of the Winnipeg game, we passed up some shots. Tonight, I thought early on again, we passed up some shots. I thought our play really started to improve once we got the pucks to the net front. And you go to that shift with Kulik, and, you know, we passed up a shift there where we had two guys net front. I think maybe it was Owen Power had the puck low on the flank, and we deferred to going up top. It got deflected. We don't get anything. But as soon as we got inside and got pucks going there, a lot like you know, the play Benson made to Thompson for the game-winning goal. You know, got it inside and found a little seam and put it in the back of the net.
When you see that work by Benson and the goal before by Krebs and Kozak all the way up the ice, from the defensive zone all the way up the ice, do you say to yourself right there, if we get more of that, we're going to be fine?
Yeah, for sure. A heck of an effort. I mean, we didn't mention Kozak or Krebs, but that goal, really, the effort those guys had. Even if you look at 5-on-6, the effort that Kozak had, and the smarts to, you know, not go for the empty net, just get it out and basically kill the clock. You know, we've got our game in a better place, and those guys are a big part of it.
Called with someone iffy for the game.
Yeah, we had a couple guys that were iffy, but ended up playing. So thank you.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, and again, 600 regular season wins. A lot of the questions about that, and I thought some really, really good quotes there from Lindy about the season, and we'll talk about that more here coming up in just a few moments with Paul Hamilton as the Sabres win today by a score of 3-2 over the Ottawa Senators and the night that Dylan Cousins returns to KeyBank Center. Next up is Pittsburgh on Thursday. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the pregame at 6. And, of course, you can hear the game with Dan and Rob on the call right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Again, send your tweets in. We'll get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can send them at BrianWGR. We'll get you more highlights, stats, and Paul Hamilton's take all coming up here. Also, we'll hear Paul's conversation with Josh Norris coming up here towards the end of the postgame. But at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or the Odyssey app. 3-2, Buffalo gets it done. Thompson, the game winner, early third on a nice setup from Benson, gives the Sabres their second straight win. As next up, again, will be Sidney Crosby and the Penguins here on Thursday. All right, timeout from KeyBank Center. More postgame coming up. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
McLeod can't get it out, turns it over at the line. Stutzel with a chance, and Reimer got over. Rebound in front, still loose, and Reimer's got it. Oh, James Reimer, give that man a hand. What a couple of games James Reimer has had here for the Buffalo Sabres, keeping his team on top 3-2 as he finds that puck.
James Reimer, outstanding work again tonight. 31 saves with Dan Dunleavy there on the call, and that is our save of the game tonight, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 3-2, Buffalo wins it. We'll read some tweets here coming up. You can send them in at Brian WGR as Buffalo gets it done. Tage Thompson's 35th of the season on just a really great shift from Zach Benson. He won a battle behind the net, fed Thompson in front, put it home, and the Sabres went up 3-2, and they close it out. And James Reimer, a big part of that. Okay, let's head down to the media room now and bring Paul Hamilton in for our post-game discussion. Paul, let's start with Lindy Ruff. 600. Okay, no Paul yet. Okay, we'll get to Paul coming up here in a moment. While we wait for Paul, we can read some tweets here. Again, you can send him in after each and every game at Brian WGR, as we always look forward to reading some of the tweets here coming in here. All right, PJ says, how about Bernard Docker maybe next year as one of the top six defensemen for this team? Looks like he's contributing offensively for a guy that's not even supposed to. Yeah, I would agree, PJ. I mean, I think one thing that Bernard Docker said, he's like, look, I'm not known for offense. But he says, look, I'm trying to contribute here and there when I can. The Sabres need guys that are hard to play against. And he's a bigger guy, and he can do so. So, I think, he's a guy that can block shots. He can take hits, I think, or he can give hits. I think, ultimately, we're going to have to see more before I think we can make a strong conclusion about Bernard Docker and whether or not he can be a regular. But, I mean, he does come from a strong pedigree in the sense that he was a first-round draft choice. So maybe a change of scenery. Look, we spent a whole bunch of pregame talking about, hey, maybe Dylan Cousins needed a change of scenery. Maybe for Bernard Docker, this is kind of a fresh start for him, for a guy that obviously had first-round label to him when he was taken. Okay, now we have Paul Hamilton, so let's bring him in. Paul, I want to ask you about Lindy, but I guess since I was talking about Bernard Docker, we'll start there. Game that he gets a goal, first star honors, 3 points in his last two games for a guy that he, of course said, I'm not known for offense, but he's obviously taking advantage of this time. I'm sure, Paul, a huge piece of this has to be just mental for him, that he's got to be so happy to be just back playing regularly.
Brian, that's what impresses me, is his last game before, he just got started with the Sabres was December 28th. And, he hadn't played since. He got cleared on March 1st, but Ottawa didn't put him in. So, he's gotten in the last, 3 games, I believe, and done a really good job. I mean, he didn't look rusty in the least in any of the games. I think he's been solid defensively in all three of them. As he mentioned, don't expect that kind of offense from him. That's not who he is. I mean, in 28 games this year, he's got 2 goals and 5 assists for 7 points, and 3 of those points have come with the Sabres recently, a goal and 2 assists. So don't expect, that all of a sudden he's going to turn into Al MacInnis or something back at the point, or even Rasmus Dahlin. But he's taking advantage of his opportunities, and that's what he's doing. Just to shoot the puck towards the net, get it through. Don't get it blocked, get it through. I originally thought maybe Forsberg was screened on it, but I've seen the goal again since, and I don't think he was, actually. I think he basically just missed it going, or maybe he wasn't in the net the way he should have been and didn't cut it down the way he thought, and maybe thought he was in the net differently. But he left the far side open, and Bernard Docker found it and wound up scoring. But I still can't get over, and that's, I think, maybe again the maddening thing of her fans is to see what they're doing now and see the effort they're putting in to beat teams like Ottawa. And when you're coming in 4 different cities, 4 games in 6 in 6 days in 4 different cities, coming back from Winnipeg. You could have easily used the excuse that they're tired. But I didn't think they were. They looked tired in that game. I thought the first part of the first and second periods were not good, and the second part of both periods were very good. And then I thought the whole period in the third period was good. And Reimer still had to make good saves, or they're not going to win the game. I mean, but it just goes to show you, when you get good goaltending, you work as hard as they worked in these two games in Winnipeg, playing a team that had been sitting around waiting for them. Both these teams had been sitting around waiting for the Sabres. So they weren't tired. They were rested. And to see the work that they put into both hockey games to be able to win them. And again, you're not going to win without good goaltending. They got good goaltending in both. But I just can't get over the last two goals, the work that we saw, you know, with Krebs and with Kozak on the second goal, starting in the defensive zone, and they would lose the puck and get it, and then lose it and get it right back, and then lose it, and then Kozak really had to hustle to get in the offensive zone. He got the puck back again. And by the time they're done, they wind up getting it back to the point, and they score a goal. That's not a goal if those two players don't put in that kind of effort all the way down the ice. The effort Benson puts in behind the net to win a battle, just wouldn't give up, and finds Thompson in front and early in the third period for the game-winning goal. The effort that Krebs puts in when he dives to stop a shot that looked like it was going to be a wide-open shot in there by Giroux, but he dives at the last second and gets his stick on it, and the puck goes over the glass. Right after that, you get blocked shots from Dahlin and Samuelson. You know, just to see those types of efforts that maybe we haven't seen all the time this year. And if you get those types of efforts on most games, you're not going to get 82 games like that. But if you get them on most games, I mean, you're going to be a good hockey team. You're going to be a playoff hockey team. And I think that's really, when they see this happening, it's like, where has this been? Why did if you're a fan, you're saying to yourself, why did we have to wait until the end of the year to see this kind of effort, you know, game in and game out, where they, you know, they beat the Edmonton Oilers, and where, you know, where they beat the Vegas Golden Knights and the Boston Bruins and the Winnipeg Jets and the Ottawa Senators? All but one of those teams are really good teams. And if you look at it, just very razor thin edge. They are a razor thin edge from having a 6-game winning streak right now. And that's what they have to work for. And winning, you know, a 6-game winning streak and winning 7 out of 8. The Detroit game, no, they shouldn't have won that game. But Utah, you're down 3-2. If you hand the puck to Utah, you got a 6-on-4. Your power play had gone well in that game. Maybe you get the tying goal and maybe able to win it in overtime. Minnesota, if you're opportunistic and score on your chances in the first period, you could have easily been up 3-0. But they missed the net. They were missing their chances, and then they played 10 bad minutes. They played 50 good minutes, played 10 bad minutes, gave up 3 goals, and lost the hockey game. Just the thinnest of margins there, where it's the difference between going 4-2 and 6-0. And that's what they have to learn, is to be able to get those other two wins, because I like the wins they got against Vegas and Boston and Winnipeg and Ottawa. Especially Winnipeg and Ottawa were really gutty wins to get those two wins. And then, you know, to be a good team, Lindy Ruff talked a lot about he wants to fix this, and it's upsetting him that he hasn't been able to fix it. And it really, you know, we could tell that just the way he's been all year. He's frustrated. And, you know, if they want to get past this and become a team to reckon with, the Utah game and the Minnesota game, turn those into wins, and now you're sitting on a 6-game winning streak. Now you've got something as a team.
Both Ottawa goals, Paul, came on the power play, and really neither one James Reimer had any chance at. 5-on-5, he played perfect, 31 saves. He's been obviously playing well enough that Lindy Ruff put him in tonight. So they got an outstanding game out of their goaltender in those moments, especially maybe, you said, the first half of the first and the first half of the second period to keep them off the board 5-on-5.
Well, the pilgrimage to the penalty box has got to stop. And Lindy Ruff keeps talking about it, and that is the biggest thing, that they just don't listen. They had 4 power plays that they gave up. 2 went in the net, and then they stopped it. The penalties ended right there. Guess what? The penalties ended, and you wound up winning a hockey game. Why? Because the penalties ended, and you got to play 5-on-5 hockey. You know, at 7:39 of the second period, Perron scores, and, you know, they're 2-for-3 on the power play. Stay out of the penalty box. Guess what happens when you stay out of the penalty box? You score 2 5-on-5 goals, and you win the hockey game. And that's the thing they have to learn. They got to figure out, you know, J.J. Paterka cannot take an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty at 6:06 of the second period, giving Ottawa a power play goal. You just can't do that. You know, Tage Thompson, take care of your stick. Bo Byram, you know, don't get your stick in the way where you got to get a hook. I mean, figure out ways where you're not sitting in the penalty box for as much as they are. And once they did figure that out, I mean, you've given them four. You're at 10:18 of the second period, and you're giving them four power plays already. And then you don't give them another one after that. And that's why you win the hockey game. So, you know, I don't know what Lindy Ruff can do to get them out of this. Maybe keep showing them tape of the last half of this game, which basically it was. You gave them four power plays in the first half of the game and no power plays in the second half of the game. And maybe just keep showing them the play in the second half of the game and how you play the game without committing penalties.
Sabres 3, Senators 2, Buffalo victorious tonight, and we'll try to get another win on Thursday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That game right here at KeyBank Center at 7 o'clock. Okay, Paul, just a couple of thoughts here on Lindy before we wrap up. So 600 regular season wins. He's only the second coach ever to win 600 games with one franchise. Do you know who is ahead of him in that category?
Nope. I was with Lindy. I didn't know that was coming up tonight. Yeah. So I don't know who the other coach is.
All right.
Maybe Scotty.
I'll give you a guess.
Scotty with the Montreal Canadiens?
Nope. It's a dominating team from the 80s.
Al Arbor with the New York Islanders?
Very good. Yes. Arbor has 740 with the Islanders, and then Lindy is second with 600. And you know who may pass them both is John Cooper. He has 565 with Tampa. So, and he's probably going to be coaching a few more years,
I guess. Don't think John Cooper is going to get fired anytime soon.
No. That seemed to be a good hire for sure, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Scotty Bowman with Montreal, by the way, you asked, 419. Actually, Dick Ervin has more with Montreal. Ervin, 431, Bowman, 419. They're 10th and 11th all time in terms of wins with a single team. But Lindy, 600, he was surprised and unaware. Paul obviously, you know, thanked the Knox family for starting him off, thanked Darcy Regier for all those successful years that he had during his first tenure as Sabres head coach. But I want to ask you about the quote that I thought jumped out the most. He says, "This year has been a disappointment for me." He goes, "I take pride on fixing things." Then he went on and talked about the segment of the season, that 13-game winless streak. He said it killed us. He says, "I take responsibility for that." He goes, "There's so many games within there that maybe, you know, could have changed our outcome of our season." You know, you and I obviously have said that that was the killer for them this year for sure. But Lindy hasn't forgotten about that, and he knows that was the spot that ended their season.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking through here. It's nice to see Rasmus Dahlin hand Lindy Ruff not only the game-winning puck but the vest, you know, that each player gets. The head coach got the vest today, and that's nice to see. I'm sure Lindy appreciated that.
I agree. Yeah, so, I mean, that back to that 13-game skid, Paul. He said, "Hey, I maybe could have done something." He kind of fell on the sword there for that 13-game winless streak, I think.
Well, yeah, he's to blame, as are the players. I mean, he's the head coach, and we've documented that many times. If you take the 21 games before that, they are not only in the playoffs, they're in third place in the division. And then the 13-game streak happens, and they go from being third place in the division in great shape to knocking themselves totally out of it in 13 games in less than a month. They go from that to knocking themselves totally out of it. And then, you know, I haven't looked it up recently. It was, I think I looked it up the 24 games afterwards, and it's gone more since then. They were, again, in playoff position in those 24 games. If you took those 24 games, they were in the number one wild card position. So that was like 44 games where they're in playoff spots and only 13 where they weren't. and took themselves out of a playoff spot before the first of the year even came. It's just amazing how that happened. And, you know, it just can't happen. And I know the players were saying during it, well, it happens to everybody. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't go on 13-game losing streaks during the season. A team or two does. Because if they did, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. And that's basically what happened to the Sabres, is 13 games, less than a month, totally blew up their season.
And I'll remember a quote from earlier in the season from Lindy Paul when he said, even great teams lose games, but great teams come back with a win. That obviously didn't happen 13 times in a row.
Yeah, and to get – that's why I talk about these two wins, you know, against Winnipeg and Ottawa. They were gutty wins.
Yeah.
The built-in excuses were there. 3-4, Winnipeg's waiting for you. They've only lost 5 games in regulation at home all year. They're the second-best team in the NHL with a points percentage over 700. Everything was against you. But you walk in there with your B game, you got a great game from your goaltender, you got timely scoring, and you figured out a way to win a hockey game. And same thing with this one. The excuse was there. Coming from out west, you're going to play 4 games and 6 in 4 different cities. The Ottawa Senators are rested and waiting for you. All the excuses were there for them. But they put the work in, and it was another gutsy win. And I thought to myself, if we could have seen some more gutsy wins this year, you know, we might be having a different conversation here, or at least having a conversation about a team that has a chance at least to get things going. But, you know, it's just too late right now. And, you know, I don't think the Sabres can be deterred by this and say, well, look at the way they've played. We don't have to really make a lot of changes. Yeah, you do. You still have to change some of the core of this team, you know, at the end of the year. You can't be blown away by this mirage. I mean, they're doing well, and you got to give them credit for it. They've won some games against some tough teams recently, starting at March 10th and going forward. But I still think some changes need to be made, and they can't ignore that.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, well, we appreciate all your work tonight. We will hear your conversation coming up here in a few minutes with Josh Norris. And I will speak with you next Thursday here with Pittsburgh in town.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, great. Thank you, Paul. Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres win 3-2. One more tweet on Bernard Docker here. Again, we get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Jim says he's impressed me and is a right shot. Still think they should trade Quinn and Samuelson for a top 4 right shot D. Yeah, they have a lot of left shooters. You know, some coaches feel like that's a bigger deal than others. To me, if you're a great defenseman, you're going to be great no matter what. But yeah, they could use more right-handed shots for sure if you want to have that balanced out. All right, 3-2 the final here. Let's see what's happening elsewhere. Let's see what's happening in the rest of the NHL. Around the league we go here. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. All right, here's Jonathan Colzie. I'll take you through the scores.
Thank you, Brian. We mentioned the Senators losing in regulation tonight. The Canadiens, another team in wild card position, they are losing bad in St. Louis, 5-1 late in the third. So they look to not get any on their way to not earning any points tonight as well. Wild and Knights, 5 minutes remaining in that one. Golden Knights over Minnesota 3-1. Eichel scoring 2 in that one, his 24th and 25th. 4 minutes to go in Winnipeg. It's a tie game between the Jets and Capitals. Midway through the second in Colorado, the Avs up 3-1 over the Red Wings. We have some finals. Excuse me. Midway through the second as well in Calgary, it's 1-1 between the Flames and Kraken. Finals from earlier. Toronto all over the Flyers, 7-2. Both John Tavares and William Nylander getting 2 goals and 2 assists in that one. Lightning beating up on the Penguins 6-1 down in Tampa. And the Predators beating the Hurricanes 3-1. We mentioned this earlier, some big names in the NFL signing with some new teams here. Stephon Diggs returning to the AFC East. Report from Adam Schefter that he signed a 3-year, $69 million deal with the New England Patriots. $26 million guaranteed in that one. And Russell Wilson joining another veteran quarterback with the New York Giants. Jameis Winston signing earlier this week. Wilson signing a one-year deal worth up to $21 million. Brian, that is it for tonight. Back to you.
Does that mean no Shedeur Sanders to the Giants at three if he's sitting there? Or does that still keep that door open because Wilson is older? You'd have, what, Winston? You'd have Wilson. You'd have Shedeur. I think they even have Tommy DeVito still on their roster.
Do you think this means this just doesn't mean Sanders at three? Do you think Jackson Dart comes into play? Do they trade down? Do they trade, take a top guy at three and then take the next best, you know, QB in the second round or late first if they move back up or something?
Or maybe they're getting wind that Cleveland's going to take Sanders at two.
Yep.
And that there's not going to be a QB there at three.
And they don't value Dart.
Yes.
To be a top three pick.
Or it could, maybe if you're Dable and shown there, you're thinking, if we have another bad season, we're both fired and it doesn't matter. So let's get a quarterback at least that can come in and we know at least can play and get us wins and save our job. And then next year we'll draft the quarterback of the future when maybe the quarterback class is better.
Yeah.
That could be it too. Yeah, and we'll see Diggs twice, obviously, with the Bills playing New England twice.
I'm sure the reception will be nice for him to come back in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? We think about the NHL doing it and the Sabres do it as well, the welcome back videos.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because there's so many players and free agency with football, you bounce around a lot. You don't necessarily see the lovey-dovey welcome back stuff necessarily with people coming back.
In the NHL?
In the NFL. You don't really see that too often.
Yeah, there was I would think, you know, most people value Diggs' time with the Bills, for sure. And, you know, they would have loved for them to get to the Super Bowl with Diggs on the roster, and Diggs was an outstanding player, and I think pushed this team up to another level. But, you know, there's an argument that it was time to move on, too. And the contract maybe that he signed here, you wouldn't want the Bills to be on the hook for that deal in any capacity, so... Anyway, yep, Diggs with Drake May. We'll see how that works out in New England. They have a lot of money to spend, so I think it's a ton of money, but I guess, you know.
And the Patriots have a top pick, too, so maybe there might be Travis Hunter on the other side.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, May's got a lot of weapons to use.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Sabres win here 3-2 over Ottawa. We'll take our final timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from Josh Norris with Paul Hamilton. Norris missing the game tonight, still out with an injury. He's going to talk with Paul Hamilton and give you an update on what's happening with him and when we might see him back on the ice in a Sabre uniform. Sabres win 3-2. Pittsburgh coming up next here on Thursday. We'll take another timeout. Thanks for listening as the postgame show rolls on here from the press box at KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Three-two Sabres beat the Senators. Brian Colziel back here on the postgame show. And, of course, a lot of reunions here tonight. Dylan Cousins, Dennis Gilbert returning. Gilbert was a scratch, but Dylan Cousins did play, got an assist right away on Brady Tkachuk's goal, 1:35 in. A nice tribute video to both Gilbert and Cousins. Cousins was acknowledged on the scoreboard and then stood up on the bench and tapped his stick up against the side of the wall there. It looks as though he was very appreciative of it. On the other side of things, Jacob Bernard-Docker, he plays against his old team. He was a part of the trade. He gets the first star, second goal of the season, first as a Sabre, which tied things up at two before eventually setting up Thompson to get the game winner early in the third period. But also a part of the trade was Josh Norris. He unfortunately not able to play tonight against his former team, but we get an update here on his injury and just what these last few weeks have been like, and also seeing the Senators back in the building here today. Here is Josh Norris and the conversation with our Paul Hamilton.
Well, Josh, first, how are things going for you, and how much longer do you think you might be?
I'm not sure. It's slow progress, it felt like, but I'm feeling better, and hopefully be back soon.
You went on the trip. I mean, how much did you think you might be able to get on the ice at some point on the trip?
Yeah, I thought potentially I was going to, you know, maybe get out there, but just something that I was dealing with for a little bit throughout the year, and kind of re-aggravated it, so just being smart about it.
Re-aggravated that Detroit game?
Yeah. It was an accumulation of games, but that was kind of the game where it didn't feel where it felt the worst. Yeah.
And just the frustration of joining a new team, you start to contribute and going through this. It's got to be tough. I would think, right?
Yeah. Obviously, it's not ideal. it's always frustrating to be hurt, and wanted to come in here and just join the team and be here for the rest of the year. But at the same time, I got to be smart about it too.
So when do you think, in your mind, you can get back in practice?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Do you feel that? Is there any concern on your part that you might not play the rest of the season? You might think about shutting it down.
No, it's one day at a time. That's all it is.
Not sure how much you've had to go into it since you've been in Buffalo, but if you're able to, can you kind of relive what it was like when you heard the news that you were going to be moving on from Ottawa to Buffalo, and just what the emotions were like at that time?
It was kind of a shock when it happened, and it is what it is. It's a busy time of the year, and it just kind of happened, and it is what it is. It's enjoyed my time there. I have a lot of great memories, and started my career there, and made a lot of really good friends, and it's part of the business, and obviously there's a team that wanted me and a team that traded a really good player for me, and I'm really happy to be here and just do my best, and the guys have been great so far, and it's a good group here.
What was it like for you navigating the feelings of this locker room, where a guy like Dylan was in this room for a while and they had to go through whatever emotions with him being gone, and you're making new friendships and getting along with these guys here?
I can't really speak for how he was in the room or whatnot. I heard good things about him, and so I just try to come in here, be myself, and try to get to know the guys on a personal level, and just do my part. It's relationships take a little bit. It's not something that happens overnight, so just try to get to know the guys a little bit better, and it's been great so far.
How did that process play out on a road trip that lasted almost a week? Even though you weren't playing, you were with them on that whole trip. That had to be a help in that area.
Yeah, that was obviously it was really nice to be on that trip with them and not be back here by myself. So, definitely got out to some dinners with the guys just enjoyed some time together. So it's really nice to be out there with them.
Josh, just when you thought the shock factor was maybe wearing off, along comes this game here. And even though you're not playing, I'm guessing playing against this team or watching your team play against this team is bringing out some feels.
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely a game that I wanted to be ready for and had it marked on the calendar, but it is what it is, and you can't rush certain things like this, and it is what it is. It's obviously a game that I would like to play in for sure, but like I said, I got to be smart about it too.
Do you circle next week then?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite memories as a Senator?
I don't know. There was a lot. It's hard to pinpoint it, but I think probably the hardest part was just the relationships that, you kind of have to not walk away from, but it's not going to be the same ever again. So, but that's part of life, just like anybody getting a new job. Switch jobs, and at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's our job, and you got to put certain things in the past, I wish them nothing but the best, honestly. Like, they've kind of been through hell and back the last 5 or 6 years, and always cheering for them and rooting them on, just not against us.
Have you had this conversation with the guys?
I've obviously saw some of them last night, just catching up and stuff, and I've been in touch with them, and just seeing how things are going. Definitely not as much as you would think, just because the season's getting going, critical time of the year. But yeah, I still talk to them. Yeah.
A little bit strange bedfellows, almost. I mean, Cousins had a lot of run-ins with you guys, and him and Brady especially weren't on each other's Christmas cards list, and now all of a sudden they're teammates. Kind of weird how that works out.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's part of the game, and it's not, it's nothing personal, and certain guys that you hate playing against, and then you have them on your team and you love them. So, I'm sure he's fitting in well over there, and
What can you say about your relationship with Brady? When we spoke to him after the trade, he called you your
you were his go-to guy for anything, whether it's hockey or life or anything like that. What was your friendship like with him?
Yeah, very deep friendship. You know, one of those guys where, you know, it's not every relationship is super deep, and you kind of, you know, talk about anything and everything. And yeah, he was always there for me, especially the last couple of years, just, you know, going through injuries and stuff like that. You know, he was always, you know, one of the guys to reach out to me and invite me for dinners or, you know, just hang out and talk about life. So, yeah, that was, it was definitely hard, you know, leaving him and, obviously his wife, Emma and Ryder, their kid. That was, I got to spend a lot of time with them. So, yeah, when he brought the baby over, that was, you know, hard to say goodbye to, but, like I said, you know, settled in here nicely, and I really enjoy it. I like the city, yeah, I'm happy to be here. I really am.
People look at Brady, obviously, from the Four Nations, and he's been on this kind of run, and they say that his play style could be very well suited for the playoffs. Like, you've gotten to know him, you've gotten to play with him. If the Senators get the job done, how do you think he'll do in that environment playing in the playoffs?
I mean, yeah, I think that's kind of his... it's like bread and butter. Like, I think it's been a long time coming for him. And, yeah, I hope they, you know, have a good run down here, down the stretch. And I know he's, you know, really chomping at the bit. And, yeah, I've been following along a little bit, just, you know, keeping up and cheering him on from a, you know, as a friend, and hoping, you know, they can get in and do some damage, because I know it's been a long time coming for him. And, you know, he puts, you know, every part of himself into this. So
that was Sabres forward Josh Norris, again unable to play tonight against his former team, but we'll get an update hopefully from Lindy Ruff before the Pittsburgh game on Thursday to see how close Norris is to returning. They are saying it is not season ending, and you heard that right there, so at least that is good news. All right, up next is Pittsburgh. Sabres and Penguins going at it on Thursday night at 7. We'll have the pregame show at 6 right here on WGR. So on a night that Lindy Ruff gets his 600th regular season win for Buffalo, they beat the Senators by a score of 3-2 in front of 13,955. And with that, we'll put a wrap on our post-game show tonight. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we want to thank our crew. TJ Luckman and Evan DePasquale, our network producers back in our Amherst studios. Tom Maddy is our on-site engineer here at KeyBank Center. Mike Shope helping us on the pregame show, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton, all part of our crew here, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Koziel. Again, the final, Buffalo 3, Ottawa 2. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Thursday with the Penguins in town, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.